I am Simon Peter. My brother Andrew and I grew up by the Sea of Galilee and are fishermen by trade. Fishing is a hard life, but we are good at it, and I had decided to spend my entire life fishing in the Sea of Galilee. But one day, something happened that would change my life forever. I'll never forget the day when my brother Andrew came and told me that he found the Messiah. We had been looking for the Messiah all our lives, and I could scarcely believe my ears. I went with Andrew to see Jesus of Nazareth, whom he claimed to be the Messiah. We were looking for someone who would be a political leader, someone who would overthrow Rome. I was ready to help such a person. But as I listened to Jesus speak, I knew he would never lead us in a revolt against anyone. His message was one of love and forgiveness. He spoke of the kingdom of God as being within us. I could not understand all that he said or what he meant. I just knew that I had to follow him. I saw him do great miracles. He made the blind see and the lame walk. How could I not believe what he said when I saw him do these marvelous things? I knew he was indeed the Messiah, the Son of God.
I am Mary Magdalene. For a large part of my life, I was a very troubled woman. I was possessed by 7 demons, and they controlled my whole being. I was a prisoner in my own body. There seemed to be no help for me. No one could free me from my prison, and no one seemed to care. I was all alone, tortured daily by my condition. And then one day, I heard about a man named Jesus of Nazareth. He was healing people everywhere he went, and multitudes followed him. I decided to go to him and see if he could help me. I had nothing to lose if he couldn't. When I found him, it was almost impossible to get close to him because of the crowd. I have never met a man who is so compassionate and kind as Jesus. When he looked at me, I could see the love and concern in his eyes. The demons within me were afraid of this man. They tried to get me to leave, but I could feel the power of Jesus drawing me closer and closer to him. He spoke to the demons, and in an instant, they were gone, and I was free. My heart was full of gratitude, and I fell on my knees and worshiped Jesus, praising him for breaking the chains that had held me captive for so long.
The scribes and the Pharisees were always trying to find fault with Jesus. I feared for his life. As the Passover drew nearer, he made plans to go to Jerusalem. We tried to persuade him not to go, but he was determined. He sent John and me to engage a room and prepare the Passover feast. During supper, he talked about his suffering and that he wouldn't eat again until the kingdom of God came. We didn't understand what he was talking about. He talked about his betrayer being among us, and we were all shocked. Surely none of us would do such a terrible thing as to betray him. After supper, he took a basin of water and a towel and began washing the feet of each of us. When he came to me, I drew back. Imagine, my Lord washing my feet. But he said if I didn't have my feet washed, I could have no part of him. He was so mysterious. I just didn't understand. He was trying to teach us to be servants. I told him I would never leave him, that I would be willing to lay down my life for him. And he said that I would deny that I even knew him, not once, not twice, but 3 times before the night was over. Me? Deny my Lord? Never. Later that day, Jesus led us to the Garden of Gethsemane. He took James, John, and I into the garden, leaving the others behind. Then he left us and told us to watch and pray with him. He went deeper into the garden and fell on his knees and cried out to God, He begged for God to take away the cup from him if it were God's will. Never have I seen such agony as he prayed. But the harder I tried to stay awake, the sleepier I became, and I fell asleep. Jesus returned and woke me, asking me to please watch and pray with him. But sleep overtook me again, and he returned to find me sleeping once more. I felt so unworthy. I knew I had let him down. And then there was a loud commotion, and a multitude of people came carrying swords and lights. And there was Judas, leading them to Jesus. Judas stepped forward and kissed Jesus and said, "This is the one." They grabbed Jesus and prepared to take him away. No one was trying to stop them. I had to do something, so I grabbed my sword and cut off the ear of the high priest's servant. But Jesus scolded me and healed the servant's ear. Jesus didn't try to resist them. It was as if he was giving himself over to them. They led him away to the high priest's house. I followed at a distance. I didn't know what to do. I was afraid. Have you ever been so afraid and confused that you had no idea what to do? That's how I felt. I watched as they mocked him and beat him. No matter what they did to him, he showed no resistance. As I watched, three people asked me if I was with him or if I knew him, and the third time I swore loudly that I did not know him and that I had never seen him. And then the rooster crowed, and Jesus' words rushed back to me. How could I have denied him? I, Peter, who said that I would die for him. I couldn't even be strong enough to admit that I knew him. I was so ashamed that I fell on my face and cried out. How could he ever forgive me? How could I ever forgive myself? I had deserted him. What good was I? When he needed me the most, I failed him.
I am Pontius Pilate, the Roman procurator of Palestine. I am stuck in this land forsaken by all the gods. When I first arrived here, I enjoyed tormenting the Jews, but they complained so outrageously to Rome that I've had to temper my behavior. I'm in Jerusalem to keep order during the Passover feast held by the Jews. It seems like they never tire of these feasts, and they always have some kind of uproar going on. From time to time, some Hebrew or another claims to be their Messiah who will overthrow the Roman government. Ha! That's a laugh. No one will overthrow Rome. And then early in the morning, a group of the religious leaders brought this person called Jesus of Nazareth to me. They accused him of trying to become king. I questioned him by asking him if he were a king. He replied,
"My kingdom is not an earthly kingdom. If it were, my followers would fight to keep me from being handed over to the Jewish leaders, but my kingdom is not of this world."
I asked him again if he were a king, and he answered,
"You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into this world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me."
I could find no fault with him. He seemed to possess a certain quality and power that I could not explain. As far as I was concerned, he was innocent of any wrongdoing. I told the Jews this and offered to release him. It was the custom to release a criminal at the time of the Passover. But the Jews refused Jesus and asked for Barabbas, a known robber, to be released instead. So I had Jesus beaten, and the soldiers placed a crown of thorns on his head. And one of them dressed him in a purple robe. Then I presented him to the Jews, telling them that I had found no fault with him. But they cried,
"Crucify him! Crucify him!"
I was terrified by this. Suppose this man was the son of a god. He might strike me dead. I went back and asked this Jesus who he was, but he would not answer me. I told him that I had the power to release him or crucify him, and he replied,
"You could have no power over me at all unless it were given to you from above.
I pleaded with the Jews to let me release him, because I found no fault with him. But they said I was no friend of Caesar if I let Jesus go. That did it. I would not be accused of being disloyal to Caesar. I took a basin of water and I washed my hands of the whole affair, telling the Jews that this man's blood would not be on my hands. They were more than willing to take the responsibility for his death. I then handed Jesus over to them, and they led him away to be crucified.
I am a Roman soldier, an officer in Caesar's army. I am in charge of 100 men, and I was serving in Judea when Jesus of Nazareth was crucified. What a place to be! There was always some kind of uprising going on. The Israelites despised us Romans, and we had little love for them. Judea was a very troubled place, not the ideal spot to be stationed, but as a soldier I went where I was sent, and obeyed the orders handed to me. I had one allegiance, and that was to Caesar. I was told I would be in charge of the crucifixion. As a Roman soldier, I have witnessed many. Crucifixion is a cruel and ugly death, and I assumed this one would be like all the others. But there was something about this man, Jesus. He was indeed different. He refused the vinegar mixed with gall, which was to help deaden the pangs of suffering. It was as if he had to suffer and experience the pain. He never once complained. Most criminals cursed and yelled, not Jesus. The religious rulers and some of the soldiers mocked him as he hung on the cross. They shouted insults and insisted that he save himself according to his claim. And instead of becoming angry, he said,
"Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do."
Never in all of Rome had I ever witnessed such a love and forgiveness. I wondered how someone hanging on a cross could possibly forgive those who tormented and tortured him. Then around the sixth hour, the sun disappeared and there was total darkness. What could this mean? The darkness lasted for 3 hours. And finally, Jesus gave a loud moan and died. The earth began to shake, and the rocks rumbled and fell. Everyone was terrified, including me. As a soldier, I am afraid of nothing, but this was entirely different. It was as if the gods had pulled out all the stops and were showing how displeased they were with us. How can anyone fight the gods? And then it dawned on me that this Jesus of Nazareth was no ordinary man. I'm convinced he truly was the Son of God.
It was all over. I have never felt so lonely and helpless. Jesus was dead.
After his death, the Jews came requesting a guard be placed at the tomb. They were afraid someone would steal his body and claim that he had risen.
I honored their request and sent a guard to watch over the tomb. This man Jesus is more than an ordinary man. Although I wash my hands of him, I cannot forget him. He plagues me day and night. I allowed a mob to convince me to condemn an innocent man. That knowledge is something nothing can wash away. I'll go to my death knowing that I let an innocent man be crucified.
After we observed the Sabbath, some of the other women and I went to the tomb to anoint the body. We talked as we went, wondering how we would be able to move the huge rock in front of the tomb. Imagine our surprise when we saw that the tomb was open and empty. We saw an angel in a white robe sitting in the tomb, and the angel said to us,
"Do not be afraid. You seek Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here."
It was almost impossible to comprehend what the angel was saying. How could Jesus be alive? I had seen him die. But the angel insisted that Jesus was risen and told me to go and tell the disciples. So I went and told Peter and John.
John and I were together on the first day of the week when Mary Magdalene came and told us that Jesus was alive. How could this be? I saw him die on the cross. But Mary insisted.
"Go look for yourself," she said.
So John and I ran to the tomb. John got there first, and he stopped outside of the tomb, but I ran on in. Jesus was gone. His grave clothes were lying there. Could it be? Was he really alive?
Peter and John returned home, but I stood outside the tomb crying. Again, I looked inside the tomb and saw two angels sitting where Jesus' body had lain. They asked me why I was crying, and I said, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Then I turned around and saw a man standing there. He said to me,
"Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?"
I thought he was the gardener, and I asked him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Then he said to me,
"Mary."
In that instant, I realized that he was Jesus. I fell down and worshipped him. I was so happy to see him. He is alive.
Stars they wept, the morning sun was dead, the Savior of the world was fallen, his body on the cross, his blood poured out for us, the weight of every curse upon him. One final breath he gave as heaven looked away, the sun.